on the Baylor grad. Very good. So I heard, did I hear them playing Sweet Caroline?
Yes.
All right. I heard that in the hall. I'm like, okay.
And it was live. It was live too. Was it?
The same two guys that were at
Salmon. Okay, yeah. Awesome. That's a great job. Brady and Joan. Yeah, mm-hmm. That's awesome. My 5-year-old girl's name is Caroline.
Oh, wow.
And Ryan Langford, one of the worship leaders here, he totally sounds like Neil Diamond if he does it right. And so he'll bust out in a Sweet Caroline around her, and it embarrasses the heck out of her. So I heard that. I'm like, is Ryan out there saying sweet? What is happening?
Yeah.
That's not what I expected at Midnight Madness. But all right, well, good evening, everybody. My name is Stephen Murray, and I'm the Director of Communications here at the church. I've been here for 11 years on staff, and I think this is 19 years? Yes, 19 years going to the church, being a member here, so I've been here a long time. Mm-hmm. Seen a lot of changes, and before I was on staff, and even, I guess, when I joined the staff, I was teaching a Life Bible study at the time, but before that, I was the director of a Life Bible study in the singles ministry, and so I've got some experience communicating within the Life Bible study world. And in fact, it's kind of how it led to my job. And I was working for a consulting firm early on when I started going to church here. And then on my 30th birthday, I turned in my resignation letter because I was having like an early midlife crisis. I didn't want to work for a consulting firm. All my clients would go bankrupt and I wouldn't care. I just, whatever, next job, next client. I just hated that feeling, so I quit. And I quit without having a job lined up, which is brilliant. Smart. Life lesson to pass on to my children. So it took me a while to find a job I cared about. So in the meantime, I just started volunteering more at the church, doing communication stuff for our singles ministry. Back then, this was in the early 2000, like it was 2000, 2001, that time frame. The church's website was despicable. Just not even, might as well not have had one. Mm-hmm. So the singles ministry started one, like a separate website, and I helped get that going and helped get a newsletter going and things like that. And so then fast forward several years, I finally did get another job. And then several years into that, Pastor Greg came, and then, yes, some of you may know, he was a marketing major in college before he went to seminary. So we say that's a blessing and a curse. That it's a blessing that he appreciates what we do, and it's a curse because he has ideas. Like, just go to seminary. Go study the Bible. So when he came, he saw the need for the church to have a more centralized role. Because really all we had at the time was the graphic guys who did crank out what we had, but nobody, no role that kind of looked at the overall big picture. And so he... God, we need that. And so they created that position, and so because I'd done so much kind of voluntarily when I was unemployed, someone threw out my name. And I said, see, he might be interested. And so one day I got a random phone call at work from David Self asking if I'd be interested, and totally out of the blue, I thought I'd retire from the company that I was working with at the time, but clearly I didn't, and so here I am. And so 11 years later, still going strong. And so I still think back to those days of being in a Life Bible study, being a director and communication and all the things that were involved. And I, to this day, remember, even back then, just how fresh I'm thinking about it, just all the dilemmas we had in communicating with the class. And just like, what's going to be the best way? What's the best format? Just so many different questions. It was a pretty big class. Most of our singles classes around here run pretty big. Back then, we didn't have as many classes, but we still had a lot of singles. And so our classes tended to be a lot bigger even back then. And so all the more of a challenge to keep people up to date with all that was going on. So that's what I want to talk to you about today. And let me just tell you up front, I'm probably going to sit a lot. If you see my fashionable Herman Munster shoe here, I had foot surgery about 3 months ago, and I'm finally on the almost healed end of things, but my foot is really sore today. So if I sit a lot, I'm not being lazy. I'm just tired of standing. So what I want to talk to you about today then is we can talk a little bit about ways to communicate and all that. We'll get into that, but it's kind of on the, before you get into the nuts and bolts of how to communicate and what's the best format, what's the best technique and things like that, there's kind of some higher level questions you got to ask yourself. You got to kind of step back and understand your class, understand what the messages are, understand what it is that you need to get across to your folks. And so it's important to remember that everything communicates. Everything communicates. You know, when you think about communication, it's, you instantly go to words, right? You instantly go to, usually, maybe after words, you go to visuals and pictures, images, and graphics, and how do things look. But everything communicates, even if we don't realize it or not. So the format that something is presented in. You know, imagine that, you know, you go to probably churches you grew up in. I can definitely say that about my church. Churches you might go and visit today. Most of them have 8.5 by 11 printed on the printer, black Times New Roman font with maybe some pre-printed shell on the cover, right? Totally fine. Every bulletin I had my entire life growing up looked like that. Now imagine if somebody walked in to a church like ours and that's what they received. It would be a huge disconnect with everything else that they experience and see, with the quality and sort of the expectation. You know, Pastor Greg's pointed out, not as if we're trying to keep up with the world, but when people come from the world, their workplace, their schools, and things are, you know, things match the organization, you know, they kind of match the level of the institution, they look professional, they look top quality, they look, you know, excellent. They've given their best. Imagine somebody walking into our building and they're given one of those pre-printed black and white, I ran it off on the copier. Just, there'd be a huge disconnect. And something about that would communicate. You know, if everything in there may be factually accurate and perfectly spelled and exactly what they need to know, but the format might say, wow, you know, where are they, why is this piece not important to them? If it's not important to them, maybe I don't need to worry about it. You know, it looks like a throwaway piece versus something maybe we put time and money into the things we hand out because we want to get their attention. We want to make them know, hey, this is important. This is something we want you to have, you need to have, you want to read this, you want to know this. So there's that. There's even, you know, things that you don't say communicate. So there are things that you don't mention, things that you may leave out. You know, a discerning audience member might kind of make the connection, like, they haven't mentioned this, or they don't say anything about that, so maybe that tells me that's not important. I mean, if things that you don't say could say a lot. If there's no mention of, I'm trying to think of what might be an example within the church setting. I can't.
Serving? Like, you know, encouraging your class to be.
Yeah,
like,
I mean, if you never talk about that, then, you know, you never stood up. You would never stand up and say, we don't need anybody to volunteer. Don't worry about it. But if you never say it, everything's fine. So things you don't say could communicate. The frequency that with which you communicate with folks, say something, if it's a consistent, you know, well-paced pattern, you know, that shows intentionality, it shows you care, it shows you're on top of things, it shows that you're you care about me as an audience member. Or if it's totally sporadic and there's no, you know, sometimes there's some communication channels. You only need it on a, you know, we only get Amber alerts when you need one, you know. Yeah. They don't send one out every week. Hey, nobody's missing. You know, they only send it when, you know, something comes up. So some things make sense like that. But otherwise, if it's sporadic and it's just, like, oh, they were on it for a couple weeks and then I didn't hear about them for a month. Yeah. Is everything okay? Are things still happening? So things like that. Everything communicates. And so, you know, I always have that in mind as you go forward with, you know, how do I communicate with the class? What needs to be communicated? Keeping in mind that everything communicates, and there is no easy formula at all. And just kind of some things that, you know, these are almost things that you could maybe tweak and like teach your kindergarten class. These are like life lessons to some extent, but also they apply to when you're telling information to your the folks in whatever your life Bible study might be. Just because it's true doesn't mean it needs to be said, and you could translate that to just because it's a fact doesn't mean it needs to be said. It's funny how, you know, some ministries here will submit some information to us, and we want to communicate about such and such event. And it's going to be, dinner's going to be provided, and it's going to have a choice of chicken or beef, and we're going to have green beans, or we're going to have potato salad, and we're going to have a roll, and we're going to have... That's great. It's true, but... If that's the deciding factor about whether somebody's going to come to your event or not, your event's kind of lame. Yeah. You know, that it doesn't need to be said, especially in all the different channels. That need to be said. Focus in on what's truly the most important thing. Just because most people are aware of things doesn't mean that everybody is aware of things. And closely tied to that is just because some understand doesn't mean everybody understands. And so I'm thinking back to when I was directing a Life Bible Study class. You know, I'm going to ask you about your classes in just a minute, but thinking about the class and there was a core of us that were pretty tight. We've been around for a while. I wouldn't say that we were insular at all, but there was a solid core who had been around. They know how things work. They know what the class does. They know the rhythm of the singles ministry. They know a lot of those things. But there could be two people in there who were visiting. There could be somebody in there who is brand new and they're not aware. And so having to always be cognizant of, you know, what are the things that I'm assuming people know that they don't all know. And same thing with whether they just understand something. Do they understand this jargon? Do they understand the joke? Do they understand, why we do things? Do they understand why, going back to the singles ministry, do they understand why we do intramurals? Is it just to keep us entertained? Or is it something intentional about relationships and having somebody, something to invite people to? Do they understand the vision behind stuff like that? Pastor Greg repeats the vision for the church and the mission, you know, to the staff a lot. You know, and he's been here 12 years, going on 13. He said it a lot. You'd think, okay, done. He said it. No. You know, there's new people all the time, and those of us who've been here have got to be reminded of it. So don't assume that just because some understand, everybody understands it. And then just because you think it might be important doesn't mean it's important to the Life Bible Study. And so, you know, always filtering out, depending on what your role is. It may be a pet cause of yours. It may be something that you're particularly interested in. But filter out. Is that something that's going to be important to the people in your audience? I lost my train of thought. There's something I was going to say up here. I'm going to hope that it comes back to me. All right, before we dive into the next slide, I want to just hear who y'all are, like what classes you're from. If you could just tell me your name, what class you're in, and what division it's from, what ministry it's from, and also throw in campus, too, just in case we've got people from other campuses. So, Kat, okay. Who are you?
I'm good. I'm here at the Loop. I actually participate in two classes. I do an 8 o'clock early riser class.
Ooh,
and then I do a 9:15 Christ in You class.
Very good. What's your role in those?
Class member at the 8 o'clock. We have a small, it's only 9 people, but it's a group that's been together for a while. And then I'm an outreach coordinator for the 9:15 class.
Hi, I'm Jennifer Hayden. I'm here at the Loop with the Quest class. We meet at 9:15 in the morning. And our class is a little unique because we overlap with, we're a singles class, we overlap with Summit Ministry and also Impact. So we have kind of an array of options there, but also kind of poses some interesting challenges because our class has a little bit of an age gap, 30s and 40s. So it's interesting to figure out, okay, how to communicate with everybody and get the message across. Not everyone's on Facebook. Not everyone's going to read their email. So it's kind of interesting how to kind of get things across to them. So, and I'm gather leader. So.
I'm Kelly. I'm in Summit also. I am an encounter, which is a night class, and I help with the grow team.
I'm Russ Wright. I'm with Renew My Life. It's men's class at 10:45 Sunday, and I'm the teacher in there. I founded the class, and I really just did, you know, in our communication, we're singularly with just the guys that are there. We have about 9, so it's really working fine. You know, I was kind of looking at that real quick and say that I have to separate what I want to send to them that is from me, and then this stuff that's just the class. Just separate those, you know, so that nobody thinks of, you know, put that right after the
right,
stuff.
Right.
Keep them separate.
Here's from the class, and then here's my campaign email.
Yeah, right? And they may have a little different flavor to it. I could have some dark thing that I say, you know what I'm saying? That doesn't mean the class means that.
I'll tell you once I accidentally tweeted from the church that I did not like my haircut. It was about 15 minutes in until I realized, that's fun. Worse. Yeah. Yes, sir.
I'm Paul Zettler, and I here at the Loop campus, I double dip like she does in a way. I attend a 10:30 class, something like that, Bridging the Gap, and then also at night the basics class, and I mainly just a class member in the morning, and then in the evening, I'm a substitute teacher. Okay. And that's me.
Paul? Rick Gill, I'm in the NYA division and the director of Save to Serve.
Very good.
I'm Julia Wright, I'm
at
the Loop.
I'm
the director of Save to Serve, and my husband teaches a co-teacher of 10:45, newly really close, and I do a lot of the handouts and socials and things. And I've attended Stephen's Midnight Madness before. I've got some good words on that for more.
All right. Pressure.
Name's Andy. I am from downtown and the Cornerstone, the adult singles. And we do the women's group. And I'm a new leader. So learning as much as I can.
Exciting stuff going on downtown.
Yeah, big changes.
So. I'm David Copeland. I go to Kaleo Single Bible Study at night, and I am the interim coordinator. Kaleo's here at the Loop.
Very good.
I'm Paul. I'm in the same class as David. I'm on the Welcome Committee.
Very good. Thank y'all. We've got a good mix here. So here's what I want to talk about next, is just what the role is of communication in your class, and I break it down into 3 things: information, integration, or inspiration. And so people think about communication, that's usually probably what they think of first, is information. Give me the date, give me the time, how do I sign up, where are we going, where's lunch, where are we meeting Friday night. So there's details about all those things, and that's incredibly important stuff. You know, in terms of building some community within the class, you know, you almost, including the leader's contact information is a helpful thing, but also then pointing to existing information. We try to do that extensively around here as much as we can when ministries come to us and they want to print piece, they want something, they want us to make something for them. You know, kind of it's pretty surprising sometimes how much they'll do that, but then they don't have anything on the website yet about their event. And so they want to print something that's just got everything they could possibly know, what someone would want to know about that event, which makes the piece bigger, could make it more expensive, could make it just too overwhelming to read. It's not enough. Is that enough information for them to... You're trying to spark interest. You're trying to motivate them to look into it, to want to go, to sign up. So if you start listing, you know, choose between chicken or beef and green beans and like, you know, most audiences, they don't care. Some audiences, they are going to care. What the heck is being served for lunch? But try to point them to something else, you know, for more information. look online. For more information, go to our Facebook page. Whatever it might be, point them to something else rather than duplicating everything across the board, because it just gets to be information overload. I think, you know, the statistic, the most recent one I heard within the last few years is every day, I think, I think it's around, you know, I don't know how many thousands of messages. I want to say it was 6,000 or 7,000, but maybe that may be a little off. Messages that we receive every day. Every day. Driving down the freeway, you may not even realize it, but billboard, bumper sticker, bumper, all these things coming at us.
And I thought that was how many junk emails I get.
Right. I mean, it adds up tremendously. And so, you know, you, as a live Bible study leader, are going to have a little bit more of a skewed bias about how important your stuff is. I'm going to be offended if people don't read the weekly guide cover to cover. But we also know that the communication people get from the church, from your live Bible study, those are just three things in the mix of the thousands of things that they get. Even though it's maybe more likely to read it or pay attention because it's from something they care about, it's still something. Still something else. And so I saw something the other day which is brilliant. I forget what state it happened in, but somebody said there was a problem, and it was out west, one of the big, huge, wide open states, with deer crossings. Like, the deer population, I think, was expanding, and just they were overpopulating. So there were a lot more incidents of deer crossing the road, right? And so they just started putting up more deer crossing, deer, watch out for the deer, watch out, signs everywhere, you know, everywhere. But pay attention.
Yeah.
And people weren't paying attention. They weren't slowing down, they weren't using their lights right, whatever it was. Those incidents were so, they took a different approach. They said, rather than doing it more, let's do it different. And so they scaled back, and they put up these signs. One of them, they put up some funny ones. One of them was the typical deer crossing with a leaping deer, and it said, "Suicidal deer." And it got people's attention. It was different. And I just had to change a few signs, and it got people talking about it and raised awareness of the problem, rather than let's go crank out more tax dollar funded signs that put up, they look like every other one people have always seen, they're no different, and it's not getting their attention. One little tweak, and it got their attention. And so think about that. In the, you know, we have to remind ourselves that here on staff of the church, because we realize we crank out a lot of stuff, and sometimes we come up with something just, yes, this is going to stick out. Sometimes it's like, here's another thing. Hope people notice, you know. It's hard to do, but having information on it, getting the information across, the things that they're going to need to know to act. You know, is there enough information on that piece and whatever it is you're doing to enable them to take the next step? Integration. Integration can be looking here about as you look at the people you're shepherding, the people in your class, no matter what your role might be. You know, I believe most of our classes do this very well. I'll tell you that there are some classes, and I honestly don't even know them by name. I really honestly can tell you. I have plausible deniability. But one of the things that falls under communication is our guest experience team. So Jennifer serves on it. The folks, you know, that welcome and greet all of our folks on Sunday. There are some classes that kind of have a reputation of, we don't want to take visitors to them.
We don't want to what?
We don't want to take visitors to them.
Oh.
Because they're not welcomed. Yeah. It's kind of like you drop off a visitor and the class is like, what?
Yeah. What is that?
Like you're crashing our party. Yeah. Very rare. But communication can help that. Communication can help connect those guests and the members. Help tear down those walls between us and them barrier. You know, you're never going to offend somebody by telling them something they know. And so, you know, we put stuff in like church communications that, you know, we always spell out live Bible study. We almost, anything that the church produces, we try to never put LBS. unless it's like the second reference in a piece. We never put LBS without putting live bubble set. Because who knows what that means? You know, if you say it too fast, it sounds like LDS, which is Mormon.
Yeah,
and so
I know.
That's why we don't. We try not to, you know, speak it. We try not to put it in print. There are other things we try not to put in print. Just thinking, all right, our church members are going to know exactly what that means, but we've got hundreds of first-time visitors on any given Sunday. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to offend anybody. I'm not going to ruffle anybody's feathers by spelling that out. I'm not. So it's not a waste of ink to do it. It's not a waste of whatever. And so help tear down those walls and prevent that potential us barrier of I'm crashing somebody's party by giving them language that everybody can understand so that everybody can know what's going on. And it does make that, it makes that participation easier. So
another term for this, Christianese.
Yeah, totally. I mean, there's Christianese, just the things we say about our faith that come across that way, just things that we say about, you know, church programming, things we say, like even after it ended, when Mission 1-8 ended, in early 2015, it's amazing, it's been that long, there have been times in the weekly guide where maybe we've referenced it as a part of somebody's story, you know, we've referenced Mission 1-8. But we never just say, you know, Mission 1-8 taught them a lot about generosity, or through Mission 1-8 they increase whatever. We'll say through Mission 1-8, comma, a 2-year generosity initiative that took place at Houston's First, and then go on. Doesn't fully explain it, because how do you really explain it without a whole paragraph? But at least it's something. It gives them a little nugget that I can read this and still kind of know a little bit what's going on, you know? So it's in the little things like that that can really make, especially your visitors, think about your visitors, think about your folks who are new to your class. Even if they're not visitors, maybe they come like every few weeks, so they're not fully engaged. Your language that you use, the information you make available, can help just to integrate them, keep them a part of the group, make them feel like it's easy for them to be a part of the group. Rather than I'm trying to suddenly, like, I'm in a foreign land, I don't know the language, and I got to figure out how all this works. Okay. And then finally, inspiration. You know, even on the weekly stuff that you do every single Sunday can include stuff about the class, the vision of the class. Just remind people who are your faithful folks what your vision is, but also introduce it to new people who come so they know what they're getting into. They know they can help, that helps them determine, is this really where I want to be or not? It helps establish the culture that you're going for in your class. There are some classes here who are so mission-minded and evangelical, they just, let's just go give them their own building and start their own church. I mean, they're ready to go. Right? And so your communications about that, with the stories you share, the things that you emphasize, you know, it could be a live Bible study leader sitting down and like, okay, I'm putting together stuff for my class. What else is going on in the church? You know, I could pull from the list of evangelism training classes and highlight that, because that goes with the mission of my class and what the culture we want to be, or I could pull, you know, here's some, the women's mentoring program. I want to push that because the heartbeat of our class is discipleship. So I want to focus on that. Whatever your culture is, whatever the things you're trying to get across in your class, every class tends to have a little bit of a niche that they maybe tend to like more than the other, whether it's a part of how they were set up or it's just sort of the people that class is drawn. That's kind of how they sway. You know, this class happens to be more not party minded, but like fellowship, fun, you know, socializing minded. That's great. Some may be more mission, let's get out into the community. Some may be more discipleship based. And then reinforce the lesson. So, Russ, you know, anything that could reinforce what you're, you know, as a teacher?
Yeah.
Reinforce the lesson. It's, you know, here's a related article, here's a related something, here's that story I mentioned, here's some extra things to point to that expand on what was talked about, and then send out, using it to send out calls to action. So, time to sign up for Houston 1-8. We're going to serve at the food pantry, whatever it might be. So inspire them. So you're informing them, you're integrating them in with the class, you're building that culture that you want. It gives everybody a common language, a common purpose, and something to talk about, and then you're inspiring to do something as well. So those are the roles that the communication can play. Now, how do you do it?
Steve?
Yes, sir.
I was going to say, on that last one that you had there,
yep.
One of the things is that I find is just a really one-on-one thing you can just type in when you send, you can send something in just an email, is to become their secretary. Each, you know, the members of the class, you can be, as a coordinator on the communications, you can actually spike them with a reminder once, maybe twice in that week, so they don't forget. They don't have to think. It comes up. It says, did I remember this? Remember this? Just one little thing, not to take up their mind and high detail.
Yeah. My wife and I attend Gerald and Kay Altick's class that they teach. So it's two sermons every Sunday. It is Gerald killing it. And then we go to Pastor Greg, and it's just bam, bam, all kinds of knocking us flat.
Yeah.
But he and Kay have been doing something the last few weeks. It started just on Facebook, through our Facebook group. They would just post a video, kind of just point, like, real casual. And it's like they're in the kitchen making dinner. Like, hey, here's what we're talking about tomorrow, you know? And then lately he's been sending out an email with a video embedded in it to the class, just for those who aren't on Facebook, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
It's a much broader list on his email. And I think, based on his language in the video, I think he's probably just added people to the email list, maybe people he's trying to reach, because he talks, again, he talks about, if you're looking for a class, so he's not just sending it to the folks in the class. There's some missional outreach things to it. I mean, it's just Gerald, like, holding his phone, talking about what he's going to talk about the next day. I mean, it's not polished. It's not, you know, the angle's weird. He's like, dude's got two chins. I never knew. Gerald had two. You know, I mean, it's like something I would never send out, right? It's just him, and off it goes. It's simple. It's easy. And it gets our attention. Like, oh, man, tomorrow's going to be another spiritual beatdown in a good way, you know?
Yeah.
Let's go. So, all right. So, speaking of tools and techniques, you know, some of these are obvious, different things, and there's no right answer. When it comes to, like, which one do we use, which is the best way, anybody who would tell you this is what you need to do, blanket to everyone in this classroom, is pulling your leg. They don't know what they're talking about. Because it depends on so many different things. I mean, I'm just leaving this up here just for you. I mean, you know these things. And I'm no doubt there are things up here that I haven't thought of. I mean, the video things that just kind of reminded me of. You know, that kind of goes along with emails. You know, Gerald sending that out. You use videos on Facebook. but some of these things are going to be great for your class. Some of these are going to be totally irrelevant. Just, you know, for those of you, especially with smaller classes, I don't know if you need a Facebook group for it. I don't know. It may work for you. It may not. Especially if you've got folks who aren't on it, then that would be a waste of time. You know, if you've got 9 people in your class and 4 of them are on Facebook and 5 of them aren't, well, you've just alienated half of your class. So that's fantastic.
Yeah.
But what's also, even though I can't, you know, you can't ever say blanketly, these are the best tools to use, what you can say is, most likely, you're going to need more than one. There's going to be more than one way. There's no way, you know, we could ever get by with promoting things at this church through just one channel. You know, it could be listed in the weekly guide. It could be on the weekly guide cover. It could be a pre-service slide. It could be an announcement in the worship service. It could be a poster in the hallway. It could be a flat screen slide in the hallway. It could be on the website. It could be on Facebook. It could be on our Twitter, it could be on our Instagram, it could be announcements made in live Bible studies, it could be an email to the entire church. It could be be a rave card, postcard that we put in literature racks. There, that's kind of like right off the top, like 13 of our basic things that we could choose from at any given time. And we usually have to do all of them, you know, and then still hope that the message gets across and that we reach everybody that we want to reach. And that's just to our own people. That's just to our own church. Now, go try to sell 20,000 celebration tickets. So crank that up, you know, to all the outside channels that we have to go through. So in order to get, you know, whatever it's going to be the best way, and it could be that there's one channel you use related to the teaching, and here's the follow-up to the lesson. There could be one channel that you use to promote all the stuff going on in the class activities. It could be different channels for different things. But most likely, especially for those of you with larger classes that have a much broader audience, you're probably going to have to use a couple different techniques. You're just going to kind of find which one works well for you. In terms of choosing, well, which ones are going to work well, I think there are several different factors to look at. And I'm sure there are some other ones that you could add to these lists. But I think there are factors related to the people, the individuals in the class, and then there's factors related to just the makeup of the class. So it'd be real tempting to say that age range could influence someone's use of social media. But my 22-year-old nephew, who is graduating from A&M this year, like 2 or 3 years ago, was like, ugh, Facebook is so lame. So he's like never on it, you know? Meanwhile, my mother-in-law, who's 70, cannot stop. You know, and I'm like, just last night, I'm to my wife, honey, and what just showed her my mother-in-law's Facebook page. And my wife was like, "How do you want me to handle it?" Let's learn to rein things in a little bit, Sharon. All right. So age range, but you know, but then the complete opposite can be said. There's gonna be 70-year-olds who don't know what Facebook is, and then 22-year-olds who probably post more than they ever should. So age range, it could give you some indication about what might be the best techniques, but not always. Stage of life, if it's a single adult versus an empty nester, versus a married young adult with a newborn, versus grandparents, widows, widowers, whatever it might be, stage of life could impact what sort of communication they like, how frequently they want it. There could be some who that Sunday school class is their family. Could, you know, if there are folks maybe that are senior adults, maybe some of them are widowed or widowers, and that's their family. They want frequent communication. They want us. They have, you know, just on Sundays isn't going to be enough. And so, how do you maintain contact? You know, whoever might be leading that class might want to keep that in mind. There may be others who, like that young couple with a newborn, so be like, oh my God, one more thing. Or that's kind of how I feel, honestly, because we've got an eighth grader, a second grader, and a 5-year-old who will start kindergarten. So next year I'll have a brand new kindergartner and a brand new high school student. With a third grader in the middle. Yeah. And so, I mean, all the papers from the school. Oh, my God. You know, like, so, I mean, I pay attention to the church stuff because I check my mailbox, make sure the things went out like they were supposed to. But I realize that, my gosh, you're just inundated with stuff. And so, you know, if your target audience, if your class is made up of folks with kind of like school-age children phase of life, bless it. They're so done. With, you know, getting stuff sent to them, you know, it's hard. Yes, sir.
I had a men's Bible study class that was on a Thursday night, and we had 40 men, and we had five groups, and this one man didn't have any Facebook, didn't have anything, and the seniors guys, and he had 18 men on his roster. 18 in his class of that 40. That's almost 50%, right? But he would call every Wednesday at exactly the same time per, you know, do that list.
Gosh.
And wives got used to taking the call and handing it to their husbands.
Oh, wow.
But he averaged 8 on time, but the rest of them were 17 of 18, but he hit 18 of 18.
Wow.
all the time, or a little bit less than that. But man, just with a phone.
What age were the guys?
Oh, they were from probably 45 up all the way up. Right. But just with a phone.
How much a phone call sticks out, today?
Yeah,
you know,
I
screen every call. I'm a little... Because some of our vendors have gotten my cell phone, and I can't.
But he would do it on, Wednesday night. You know, he would call. Wow. And he had the guys come the next day to the class.
The big thing is he was just... He had a discipline, and then he was consistent, so there was an expectation he had set where they probably kind of looked forward to it.
Yeah. He was like a general for us. I mean, he was acting like a general, but he wasn't a tough guy, but he was an ex-military guy, but he was so disciplined, and they took his call.
That's great.
And he told them how much he loved them every week.
I think sometimes with what you're talking about, is it just maybe just have that discussion with your classes. We want to keep the lines of communication open. Let's talk about how we best do that. I mean, sometimes just engage them in how you do that.
Yeah.
So, job and career level can influence the factors. The spiritual maturity level might as well, especially, your class. You'll have people all over the map for sure. But, if you skew toward maybe people who are not believers or new believers, who therefore also may have a lack of familiarity with church in general, not just our church, but church in general. It may be communication that needs to be a little bit more nurturing and personal, rather than just cold and here are the facts. I mean, it's just where are you moving them along? What's the goal? Just something to factor in. And then looking at the class itself. So if you've got a class of 9 people or you have a class of 90, your communication channels are going to change. The stability of the class. The singles, back when I was in the class, we were pretty stable. There were new people all the time. And then every once in a while, a dozen of them would go to Second Baptist for a while. It's just kind of a churning, And so that sort of factors into how frequently do you communicate with folks to make sure they're just always up with the latest, because they may not always be here on Sundays. And so if you're reliant on something you hand to them in class on Sunday, but they're going to miss out, So back when I was directing the class, I think, God, this makes me sound really ridiculously old, but you all remember these days before Facebook was a thing. I remember when it first came out, and I remember a woman who was on staff in our singles ministry at the time was talking about Facebook, and so people were getting on it. And I remember this, whatever. Now I manage 18 accounts on it.
Oh,
drives me insane. For classes that have that, if your folks travel a lot, or you just your class tends to be kind of one of those entry points for your ministry, and it comes and goes. Having a way for them to get the information outside of just being there on Sunday is going to help. If it's just a handout on Sunday, then if they're not there, then they're lost. This the cohesiveness of your class. If it's a tight group, I bet your early riser folks are tight. But then there are going to be, a lot of those large singles classes. They may not be there yet. Or especially if a class is brand new, which is the age of the class. The age of the class not referring to the age of the people, but is it a brand new class? The singles ministry just went through that. Especially, was it just the evening classes?
Yeah,
or
it was the evening classes.
Evening classes. They just kind of did a full clean the slate, start new classes. And so there's a lot of need to build, and get people familiar with what's going on. So, I don't have questions for you at all, but just would love to hear your successes or questions or thoughts, or this is all ridiculous, or...
I do have a quick question.
Yes, ma'am.
So you had a list of, all the different avenues that we could communicate. One of them you had was website or doing some kind of blog. And so my question is, I know every class does have a page on the Houston's First website, and it's pretty basic. It has just the director, who, when, where kind of stuff. I guess I'm wondering, is there the option of being able to add more to that to kind of give across, what is this specific class vision, what is our, mission statement, what is our Bible verse, all that kind of stuff.
It's a great question, and we get it often, especially every time I do Midnight Madness. I guess. And where I'll tell you where we've landed on it, because we've given it a lot of thought, talking with the ministers involved. So it's not just communication, but talking with Ben Pritchett and talking with all the ministers. Here's where we've landed on it. We know that there are some classes who are just killing it when it comes to that. Mm-hmm. And there are other classes that aren't. And so our fear is if we do it for a few classes, let's say there's 15 singles classes. I've lost track of how many there are. No idea. And five of them are awesome. And man, they got a director who is just on it. And because there are some that are, you know. Here's our mission, here's what we're teaching, here's what we're about, here's the... What about these other 10? There's nothing going on in those classes. I'm going to go visit these five. Mm-hmm. And so our fear is it's going to be like the rich get richer, and it's not going to... If we can't put a solid foot forward for all the classes, and some look more... In this more reflection of are there leaders on top of it more than it's a reflection of the quality of the class. And so that's kind of where we've then backed off of. We're very hesitant to go down. First of all, we have 180 live Bible studies across all the campuses. And so simply keeping it up to date is, I mean, we have two people that do our website. And it's monstrous. And so there's just the logistics of keeping it up. And then I think the real thing, though, is it, will we be able to provide a consistent experience? And because we don't want one class to kind of get glossed over through really no fault of its own versus, some classes, their team is just more on it than others. And they'd be more inclined to do that. And then we would feel the burden of, okay, we have 180 classes. Let's go through and make sure they're all up to date. Okay, are y'all still teaching this? Are y'all still doing this? Are y'all still... We have a hard time getting our ministries to keep their pages up to date. So, I mean, I absolutely hear you. Absolutely. but we can't land on a place where that's going to work well.
You know, I think sometimes, just like you said, some classes are meant to say more than... have a hard time with the person just walking in the door and what to do with them, to bring them up to speed. Right. Ours is we tell them when someone new comes to the class, we stop the class and tell them what it's all about. Because all these faces look at the faces around you, and they're all smiling, and they want them to come. Right. But I go ahead and tell them what we're about, and everybody, I take that time, and it's so much, and we win them more often than not because of that. That's great. Take the time to show them. We're a family. Come into our family.
Right. And it's, some of you with your larger classes, I always think it's a funny moment, and I can say this, I'm on staff, I always think it's a funny moment in the worship services when they tell us, turn around and greet somebody. Mm-hmm. And I always turn around and I'm like, I panic. I panic in that moment. Mm-hmm. Because I don't want to say welcome to Houston's First, and they're like a deacon for 37 years, I'm like, what do I say? I just like, good morning. I don't welcome anybody. I mean, which so therefore I feel like, oh my gosh, they could be brand new, and I didn't welcome them. But I'm like, this place is enormous. I don't know who's a member and who's not. Yeah. So and even though it didn't have to be 2,000 people, you could get that in a class of 50. And so all the more, for the leaders to be aware and know their class, and to know when a visitor is a visitor and be able to point them out, and not point them out, but, to be able to address them and make sure that they're in the loop on things that are going on so they can quickly get connected. It's really almost time. Any other? Yes, I thought it was one.
On ours, we're going to, in this 2017, we've been doing Bible study, with our Bible study. Now what we want to do is bring in the evangelism side. And so it's a transition to us to do that and to make it where that's the purpose of evangelism. We've done very well with our content. And now we want to make it go and let the evangelism start, you know, ask God to bring that in that way to where we can have that. So that's, so we prepped ourselves in getting the discipleship cycle going real well.
Excellent. It'll grow your class. It'll be huge.
That's what we want to go for.
Well, if y'all have any questions at all, there you go. You know, feel free to contact me.
Y'all are doing a great job. I mean, the marketing and everything is just
thank you.
Great. I mean, it's just great. And it's, I know y'all do a lot of work. Have y'all ever been up to their studio to see their stuff? He and I are from an ad agency industry. We know how much this stuff is and how much work it is.
It's a lot going on. I tell people, if the communications team or the missions team are ever bored at a church, it's a bad sign.
Yeah, right.
Something ain't happening. So let me pray for y'all and I'll send you out. Heavenly Father, thank you for these men and women who come on a Friday night to give up their time, Lord, just so they can learn and get equipped. God, to better serve their classes, better serve you, Lord, and the people that you bring their way, God. Classes big and small, single, older adults, married, whatever it might be, God, we just thank you for a church that loves them all, Lord, and provides for them, wants to see them grow in their relationship with you, Lord. May our communication be clear, may our communication be consistent, Lord, may our communication in whatever form it takes, Lord, help to connect people ultimately, Lord, with you. Lord, in your son's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
All right. Thank you all very much. I'm serious, those early risers. I've always wondered, who are these people? All power to you.
It's a great class, but at 8 o'clock in the morning, it needs to be great.
We're struggling to get us all three kids here on time for 9:15.
Yeah. Well, needless to say, this class doesn't have too many young children.
Yeah. Gosh, yes. I suggest that the morning people should be shot at sunrise for somebody to do it.
We get the kids here for my son goes to FBA. Middle school, so it starts at 7:45. But then on Sunday, we struggle to get here at 9:15. Like, what is happening? Why can't we do this?
I'm good in the morning. Don't make me come at night. So I'm doing good tonight.
Well, that's exciting about downtown.
Yeah.
Have you been over to see the building at all? Or? I was really kind of like, I was partially concerned.
Yeah.